Last hymn before the message this morning is number 20 in the Wilds, Rejoice in the Lord, and we'll be doing all three verses. I will mention that there is no Sunday school this morning, so children, I'll ask that you remain for the service. So Rejoice in the Lord, we'll do all the verses, and we'll have the pastor with the message after this. God never moves without purpose or plan. When trying his servant and molding a man, give thanks to the Lord, though your testing seems long. In darkness he giveth a song. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. I could not see the shadows ahead, so I look to the cross of my Savior instead. I bow to the will of the Master that day. Then peace came and tears fled away. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. Now I can see testing comes from above. God strengthens his children and purges in love. My Father knows best, I can trust in his care. Through purging, more fruit I will bear. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. Thank you for your singing, everyone. I will now have the pastor with the message.
All right, it's wonderful to see you this morning. Turn your Bible, please, to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. It is wonderful to have some first-time visitors with us. We're so glad you're here and hope you can come back again and again. Hope you had a wonderful Christmas and that you have a very blessed New Year. We probably will not planning to do a memory verse, though the verse for next week is definitely worth memorizing, but probably won't do a memory verse in January, as it's a busy time for people to get away. But thank you for all the effort to memorize Psalm 23. What a wonderful chapter of scripture to to hide in our hearts. How wonderful it is. John chapter 13. We're going to begin reading with verse 1, and we're just going to read a little bit just to get us up to date with our message today. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after that he washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again. He said unto them, Know you what I've done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you that the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. So over the December time, we've been looking at the fact that Jesus was sent. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am chief, Paul said. We've looked so far at the first 2 points. We've looked at the fact that when Jesus came, he went about doing good, but some of that good that he did, he showed that he had power to help those in crisis. His passion in all things godly. He didn't just, serving God was not boring. Living for his Father was not boring. It was something that he wanted, and he was our example of serving, of loving, and of ministering to others and loving God. He was passionate in his love for God and love for people. This morning, I want to look at something maybe that we haven't considered before, but maybe you have. But Jesus came, his preaching to both saved and unsaved people. That's what I want to concentrate on this morning, his preaching. Yes, he did lots of miracles, lots of miracles, lots of miracles. But he was constantly teaching the people. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit, and this is after his baptism, into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, which he had opened. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Much of his ministry was preaching. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of them all were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Now, can you imagine that? Jesus just read Isaiah 61, and he says, guys, this is, I'm it. I am the fulfillment of these verses. It says, all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? So I want to talk about Jesus preaching a little bit. And first of all, you know that he had gracious words. He had gracious words, and his words were true words. And we'll look at that in a minute. Jesus' preaching was always with grace, even when he told the disciples, you Pharisees, hypocrites. He told them that in love. He told them that in truth. Everything that he did when he was preaching was truthful, but it also had grace to it. In other words, you don't have to be mean. When a person preaches God's word, we should be truthful and we should be honest and we should be loving, but there never has to be a mean spirit. I've known of preachers that you almost feel like they don't like you because of the way they handle God's word. Well, Jesus, he always handled God's word in truth. He always handled God's word. He was honest, but he was also loving. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. He didn't just say, well, this is what so-and-so thinks. This is what somebody else thinks. This is what somebody else thinks. He said, thus saith the Lord. He had a foundation, and it was God's word. When Jesus was once preaching, and he rebuked the Pharisees. The Pharisees, you'll remember, they always looked really good on the outside. Well, Jesus said, you guys, you're spending too much time on the outside and you're not worrying about your heart. And he says, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this is what defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto them, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended? The word offended is scandalized. They felt, how dare you? After they heard these sayings. So Jesus was one who would preach the truth, and he did not back down. In fact, some people were sent to arrest him, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priest and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him? And the officers answered, never man spake like this man. Never heard anyone preach like this man. Now I realize Jonathan Edwards, you know how he would, and if I ever have to do this, I'd do it. But you know how Jonathan Edwards, preacher of the Great Awakening, you know what he did when he preached? He had his sermon written out, and he read that thing. He absolutely read his sermon. And as he read his sermon, people didn't go, preacher's reading his sermon. The scripture actually says that people were holding on to the chair in front of them, thinking that they were going to fall into hell. His sermon was sinners in the hands of an angry God. Jesus, though, in the verses that we're going to read next, I would have just absolutely loved to have heard him preach. And it says, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. Happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God, or kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So we're looking at just some of the highlights of Jesus' sermons. And if I were to ask you what your favorite sermon is that Jesus preached, I may not hit on it today because there's so many. But here's another one in Matthew chapter 5. I think this is a little later on. After this manner, therefore, he said, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven, done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And then he was very honest with the lost. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit if he shall gain the whole world? What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The Lord, time and time again, was just to the point, but he was always passionate. He cared about people. In the book of John, and this is where we're going to get stuck in a few minutes, in the book of John, the Lord refers to himself 7 different times. He says, I am. And the Jewish people understood when he said, I am, they understood that he was referring, that he was making himself equal with God. In fact, a couple of times they picked up stones and were going to stone him because he was making himself equal with God. Each one of these I am statements, they reveal just a little bit different emphasis on how the Lord deals with us. And the appeal, for example, in John 6:35, he says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Actually, I'll come back to this in just a minute. I put a slide out of place. This is the last little bit of his preaching. He says, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. So this is still his preaching ministry. And then he said, and if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. You're asking us to do something really hard here. You're asking us to forgive him. You're asking us to forgive people when they sin against us. So going back to John 6:35, he says unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. The Lord is able to meet every hunger, and we're always hungry. We're always wanting more. Not necessarily food, but stuff and appreciation and all these other things our hearts seek after. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. If you believe in me, I'll give you that peace. And may I ask you something this morning? Have you believed in the bread of life? Do you know him personally? Notice in John 8:12, we looked at this a little bit on Christmas Day. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. There's peace in walking in light that you don't have in darkness. There's no fear or less fear. There's guidance. The Lord says, I am the light of the world. Luke 24:32 tells us about how that when the disciples heard him preaching, they said, did not our hearts burn within us when we heard him preach while he opened to us the scriptures? John chapter 10, then said unto him again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And then he says in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. John 11:25, what we began looking at when we started talking about Jesus came. Jesus said unto them, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And then John 14:6, can you imagine being in the upper room with them just past? Now, he was already in the upper room in the verses we read in John 13. But they could feel the tightness. I mean, you could have probably heard a pin drop in that upper room when the Lord Jesus wasn't talking. He could tell that they were upset. He could tell that they were under pressure. And this is what he said to them. Jesus said unto them, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, we did that one. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Earlier in that verses, he had said, let not your heart be troubled. But here he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Just know that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Calm down. It's going to be okay. And then our verse for today, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. This morning, I want to talk to you about the vine, the gardener, and the branches. The vine, the gardener, and the branches. And after Jesus had washed the disciples' feet, he continued teaching. And finally he said, up, let us go. It's time. So they began their trod to the Garden of Gethsemane. And as they were passing, as they were walking that way, I'm sure they would have come by some grapevines. And as they were going by, and I don't know that for sure, I'm just assuming that that gave way to this, because the next thing he says, you see these vines here? He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now, him being the true vine, if you look at Psalm 80 and Isaiah chapter 5, the Lord had wanted Israel as a nation to be as a vine that attracted other people to him, that represented him before the people. They didn't. They wouldn't. They served other gods. They served themselves. And the Lord, he actually says in Isaiah chapter 5, he says, what more could I have done? I fed you, I gave you everything you wanted, but what else could I have done? But Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. The word father, the word husbandman means a vine dresser or gardener. That's what some others translate it as. It's basically the person who looks after the garden. And this person that looks after the garden, first of all, I want you to notice his knowledge. His knowledge. He says, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So here the Lord is. He's saying that he is the vine from which the branches get their nutrients. And then he says his Father is the husbandman. He's the gardener that knows everything about every branch. He says the branches that don't bear any fruit, he takes them away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. He trims it, he snips it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Just a few things. Any gardeners here? Any people really take pride in their gardening here? I see some hands. Okay, thank you. There's an app that you can get that that knows every plant here in Queensland. So if you take a photo of that plant, and or you take the photo, it can tell you what kind of plant that is. I didn't download it because you have to pay. I'm just not there yet. You know what? They have an app that can tell you every plant. Well, the Lord, he knew everything. He knows everything about every plant, every vine, every branch. He knew whether it was sickly. He knew he could see if it was crossed. He could see if it was diseased. He could see if it was sucking nutrients away from one that would do better. The husbandman, the gardener, knew when to prune. He knew why to prune. He knew how to prune. And it says there that every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. He knows us. He knows us completely. In fact, he knew which ones were really part of him and those that really weren't. And in John 13, when we read there, when he said to Peter, he says, you're clean, but not everyone is. The idea is that, yeah, Peter, you're a believer, but not everyone at the table is. Not everyone that I'm washing their feet. There's some with me this morning, he said, that are not believers. And he knew Judas. He knew Judas was not. And he says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. That word clean, it's also the word snipped. It's the word purge. It's the same word. And basically, the Lord just uses his word to cleanse us from our sins. And he also uses his word to purge us from those things that don't need to be in our lives. He knows every branch. He knows those branches that seem to be connected but aren't. And I realize that I could handle these verses in such a way to make people doubt their salvation, but I don't want to do that. But may I ask, do you have an abiding relationship with the Lord Jesus? Are you really connected to Him? Because He knows, and that's something that we need to know. You know, just because we come to church, just because we're part of a vine, the Lord says, you know, not everyone is a believer that comes to church. So He knows those that are His. And let me ask, do you know that you're one of His? 2 Timothy 2, verse 19 says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." He says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away." And then every branch, He knows about every branch. And then nextly, I want you to notice about the Lord, the gardener, His closeness. I've had the opportunity to this little one over just right outside the door. I've had the opportunity to trim it back a little bit. And I have to get the snippers that are really long to get some of the branches because they're way up high. And when I do that, it's a little bit of work, but it works itself out. But when it says here that every branch that beareth fruit He purgeth, in order to snip something, you got to be relatively close. Though you may have to reach and do whatever to get to it. And to me, this tells us that, you know, when the Lord is snipping us, when the Lord is working in our lives, His pruning work, that's one of the times He's closest to us. David Jeremiah said this. He said, "The vine dresser is never nearer the branches than when he is pruning them." And so the Lord, even when He's pruning His children, even when He is snipping them, even when He's correcting, even when He's chastening, even when He's allowing the hardships to come, He's still working. He's very near. In fact, sometimes the Lord's pruning, we may not understand why in the world. Oftentimes we see the pruning that the Lord does as actually not too long ago, I did come over and I trimmed that, and there were some things happening in my life at the time that were really difficult for me. And as I was pruning, I thought to myself, you know what? Maybe the Lord is using these circumstances to help me be more like Him. You know that some of the hardships, whether it's relationship, whether it's a family problem, whether it's finances, whether it's health, the Lord uses all these different kind of things to snip us. You remember when Peter, and the other disciples, they were on the ship. They were on the boat. He was asleep. And they finally woke him up and they said, "Master, don't you care that we perish?" He arose and he said, "Peace, be still." And he looked at them and he said, "Why didn't you trust me? Why didn't you trust me?" Sometimes the Lord snips us, and you know, we're not going to understand one iota about it. You think about Romans 8, 28 and 29. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." These are the good things, the hard things, the difficult things. And there's things that are going to happen in our lives that we just don't understand. Well, why is this situation happening like this? Why is the Lord, you know, you search your life and you Lord, why in the world? This is a wonderful verse. But let's go to the next one too. The next one is just as important. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." As I thought about this, I was wondering about why in the Lord did the Lord use Stephen? Time and time again, actually just twice. In the early chapters of Acts, it says that Stephen was a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Man, he had a heart for God. Man, this man, he really wanted to see other people know Christ as Savior. And yet, for whatever reason, the Lord allowed this man to be stoned. And as they were stoning him, he said, "Father, forgive them." And we know Paul heard him say that, and we know that Paul was gloriously saved next chapter. You know, there's sometimes the Lord lets hardships in our lives that we just scratch our heads. We don't get it. But he's got a plan. Part of that plan is to help us be more like his Son. And then, notice Ephesians 2:10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Anyone do crocheting? Anyone do crocheting? Got some hands raised. You know what? We are his needlework. We are what he is working on. We are his masterpiece. And we may not can work out exactly what he's doing in our lives, but he's got a plan. Always got a plan. We are his workmanship. One writer said this: "If he prunes, it is to purge. If he digs about his vine and wounds the branches, it is to make it beautiful with new clusters and restore it to its fruitful vigor." When the Lord is pruning us, it's not because he hates us, not because he doesn't like us, because he loves us. And then notice why he's pruning us: that we may bring forth more fruit. And in fact, verse 5 says that we might bring forth much fruit. He wants us to bring forth. Well, what does that look like? When he wants us to bring forth fruit, what does that look like? Well, our passage really doesn't tell us. I've got my ideas, and I'll share that with you in a minute. But bearing fruit, bringing others to Christ, Romans 1:13, that is a way of bearing fruit. When we witness to others, that is a way of bearing fruit in Christ. When we witness and bring other people to Christ. When we grow in holiness and obedience, that is us bearing fruit in Christ. In our giving, when we give willingly, that is us bearing fruit. Our growing in character, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, those things are fruit. Good works, serving others, being willing to help others and not making life all about us, that is being fruitful. And then Hebrews 11, 13, 15 says that us praising God is fruit. The Lord is working in our lives through His Word, through the difficulties that happen to us. We are clean or purged through the Word. His Word helps us make sense of things. 1 Peter 1, 5 and 7, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You know, you're glad to be saved. You're glad to have this relationship with God. Wherein you're greatly rejoiced, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So He gives us understanding. There are some things the Lord allows in us in our lives, just like Job. We all know what happened with Job. He didn't until he got to glory. Our last song that we sung this morning, written by Ron Hamilton. Many of you know that Ron Hamilton, he went by Patch. He was called Patch the Pirate. He lost one of his eyes. And I can imagine how difficult that would have been to do. He says, now I can see testing comes from above. God strengthens His children and purges in love. My Father knows best, and I trust in His care. Through purging more fruit, I will bear. Are we willing to trust Him? Are we willing to trust Him? Verse number 4, He says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. In verses 1 through 11, the word abide is used 10 times. And it's the idea of being really connected, vitally connected, livingly connected to the Savior. And we are connected to Him through His Word and through prayer. John 15, 5. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Now, can I just give you an idea of what the Greek says? For without me ye can do nothing. Our translators, they make it to where we can understand it, but the Greek, it goes like this. It uses the double negatives. That last phrase there goes something like this. Apart from me, you are not able to do nothing. Not one thing. And the idea being that his focus is on, you know, we say, well, yeah, I can live, I can do. But we can't do one thing to please the Father without Him. We might do lots. We might do lots, but it won't please the Father unless it's through Him. But if we're connected to Him, if we're abiding in Him, even giving a cup of water or saying hello or saying thank you, even the small things are used of Him. So it's a matter of abiding in Him. Abiding in Him. For man abide not in me, his cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. That's the importance of making sure you know Christ, you have a real relationship with Christ. Because, and that's the reference back to verse number 2. And then it says in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. A couple of the ways that helps us be connected with him, besides trusting him as Savior, is to abide in his word, to let his word be an important part of our lives. And second part is to be praying. Why would we abide in him? So that we can glorify him, so that we can show others that we are his disciples, so that we can be witnesses, so that we can display his love in verse number 9. And then, so that we can just obey what he has for us. Verse 11 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. The preaching ministry of Jesus varied, always to the point. He never got up and just said, okay, going to preach for about 5 minutes here or 30 minutes, going to be done. It was, you know what? What the people needed, that's what he gave. And you know, sometimes in life the Lord prunes us. And are we willing to trust him? Are we willing to just say, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm going to trust you. Sometimes we fail to learn. We don't learn from the pruning process. And so if the Lord, whatever the Lord's working in our lives, let's let him do it. And if we don't understand that why he's allowing the difficulties, trust him. Trust him. And if you don't know why he's doing the difficulties, I know I just said that, but trust him. Just trust him. I'm going to ask Hayden to come and lead us in our last song. And really, what we need to do is we need to know more about him. We need to be walking with him each day. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, as you work in us, that you would change us, and that we would be willing to let the gardener of our lives, our Father, purge our hearts of things that don't need to be there so that we can be more fruitful. Pray that you give us a good day in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can we sing the second and third verse of I Need Thee Every Hour? The second and third verse, please, if you'll be standing with me.
I need thee every hour, stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee. I need thee, oh bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, enjoy your pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee.
All right. thank you for coming today. I'd like to ask you four, from Lynell and Clarice and Bianca and Esther, if you go to the back. So we actually made lots of Christmas Day presents for people, and we didn't give them all away. And so we would like to give at least the children a Christmas Day present, and anyone else that would like to have one. I think we've got like 40 to give away. None of them are dairy-free, so keep that in mind. So if you weren't here on Christmas Day first, would you actually, you guys just go and give them out as best you can. So if you don't want one, just say, I don't want one. All right? That's okay. All right. Did you hit? Yeah. All right. Everyone's got one that wants one. All right. There's still some left. Don't make me eat them. Okay. I will. All right. I hope you have a good day. Lord bless you, new year. And love to see you tonight at 5:30 if you're able to come. If I can be of help, please let me know. And Lord bless you heaps. Thanks for coming. We will have a short business meeting in just a little bit. All right. Thank you. Lord bless you.